This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We are 6 days into the Israel-Iran war. The Ayatollah says that they will not surrender. We're joined by Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. Colonel, welcome to the show.
You're always a pleasure.
Colonel, a lot of saber-rattling going on, a lot of rhetoric going back and forth. They continue to lob ballistic missiles at one another. Obviously, Israel has air superiority over Iran. Your thoughts about where we find ourselves on day six?
Well, I think we find ourselves with two important things going on. One, is Israel really changing its objectives? Because we have to remember, military force is a means to an end and not an end. So what are you trying to shape here? Initially, it seemed clear that Israel was intent on destroying Iran's nuclear capabilities because it began its attacks against those facilities, as well as some of the military leaders. That has appeared to have been quite successful so far. And now they've moved on to striking more infrastructure, energy, Ministry of the Interior, other government leaders, media, et cetera, which brings us to the question of, are they now moving towards an objective of changing the regime, which is a much more difficult proposition. But along the way, they would have to calculate that in destroying their Iran's nuclear capability, they must destroy the facility at Fordo, which is an underground facility in the mountainside about 250 feet underground, which is principal site for about 3,000 centrifuges that have been one of the primary sources of enriching uranium to a 60% level, far beyond what you need for civil purposes, but moving close to a 90% level, which you need for a nuclear warhead. And not destroying that facility, I think for the Iranians or for the Israelis, would mean the mission was a strategic failure. They don't have the military capability to do that. So Mr. Netanyahu has been urging for some time for the United States and President Trump to get directly involved using our B-2 bombers and a massive earth penetrator bunker buster bomb of 30,000 pounds, which would have a higher probability of destroying that Fordo facility. But I want to quickly hasten to add that to do so probably would require what I would call a military campaign, not a military strike. It wouldn't be one and done. This would be multiple attacks by B-2s, probably at least two or three, to ensure a high probability of success. President seems to be more and more moving in that direction as he left the G7 summit early, met most of the day with his advisors yesterday, and we see a large-scale repositioning of U.S. military forces in the region.
I'm glad you started with objective because the realities are the Fordo complex is something that Israel knows well about and knew that that was going to be a challenge before they took step one, right?
No, that's exactly right. And it was a focal point as far back as 2010 when it was discovered, a secret site that the Iranians had created. It was announced publicly by then President Barack Obama. It was a focal point, oh, by the way, for the JCPOA nuclear agreement that the Obama people negotiated with Iran. And the Iranians actually agreed to convert that facility to solely medical research and to allow extensive International Atomic Energy Association or agency inspections of the site in the aftermath. But of course, all that was washed away when Mr. Trump tore up this deal between the United States and Iran.
So There's also been mention of ballistic missile production capacity and capability by the Iranians. They seem to have put together a production facility that's able to produce these ballistic missiles at a pretty fast clip. How significant of a concern should that be?
Oh, it's a major concern, but one needs to emphasize one reason why historically Iran has leaned on production of ballistic missiles. It has almost no air force at all. It's still flying F-14s, and we're flying F-35s. So any Iranian aircraft that gets aloft, and I've only heard of one getting aloft, would probably last about 5 minutes against the IDF or certainly against the U.S. Air Force. So their dependency for offensive capabilities has always been ballistic missiles. Now, in one of the previous strikes by the Israelis back in April of last year or October, the Israelis hit the Iranian ballistic missile production facilities and where they also produce propellant and slowing that ability to produce weapons. It's believed Iran has around 3,000 ballistic missiles at the start of this exchange. That being said, the Israelis now are saying that they may have destroyed up to half of the launchers that Iran has for launching ballistic missiles. And we've seen a steady decrease in the number of missiles that Iran has launched against Israel every night since this war began, beginning at about 100 on the first night. And I think last night I saw only about 30 Iranian missiles were launched against Iran. So, or launched against Israel. So either A, the Israelis are correct and they are limiting, if not reducing, Iran's ability to launch missiles, and or B, the Iranians are having more difficulty launching them because of their command and control challenges, as Israel has killed off a lot of the senior leadership controlling those operations. Or C, Iran is husbanding its missiles in preparation for a subsequent military engagement between Iran and the United States.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You mentioned regime change. We talked about the objective. Kind of the same problems that I've had in the approach with Hamas. How do you sit down and negotiate with this, you know, theocratic, crazy person in many respects? I mean, they've not lived up to anything that they've said that they would live up to. We've tried this before. What's different? I mean, and it seems as though Bibi Netanyahu really doesn't have any interest in sitting down and negotiating with the Ayatollah.
No, he has no interest whatsoever. And he sees this as an existential threat to Israel. And of course, Netanyahu had talked at the onset that it was imminent that Iran would acquire a nuclear weapon. I might quickly add, that was a conclusion that was largely pushed back upon by the U.S. intelligence services. Tulsi Gabbard, our DNI, testified for Congress in late March that it was the consensus of the U.S. intelligence services that Iran was a year or more away from acquiring a deliverable nuclear warhead. They could move quickly, perhaps, to create weapons-grade uranium, but then you got to create a warhead that can survive, test the warhead, make sure you got a missile with proper range that you can mate to the warhead. So there's several other things that, in fact, have to occur. But if this war is going on, it's been interesting. Mr. Trump has pushed back on that and said he doesn't believe Gabbard and his seven intelligence services, and he has accepted Mr. Netanyahu's argument that the acquisition of a nuclear warhead by Iran was imminent. It's my feeling the reason he did that is because he well knows that for the United States to do a military airstrike against Iran, as described using B-2 bombers, would be an act of war. I mean, my goodness, if Iran hit a nuclear facility on U.S. territory, I think we'd probably call it an act of war. And consequently, under the Constitution, one could argue that he needs to go to the United States Senate for a vote. But he might well argue, as, oh, by the way, George W. Bush argued in 2003, that Iraq was just about ready to launch a nuclear weapon against the United States and use that rationale to avoid seeking any kind of Senate authorization.
But when we talk about a year or more, I mean, that seems like a very short period of time to me. You know, I mean, a lot of folks have been asking, why now? If someone said to me, well, they're going to have nuclear capability possibly in a year, I mean, that seems pretty exigent to me.
Yeah, it certainly is, but it certainly doesn't preclude, I would argue, at least following a process we established in our Constitution, that process might lead you to the same conclusion. The Senate might agree, yes, time is of the essence. Go ahead and do that, Mr. President. Second of all, in any military operation, you have to answer that question, which I always found when I worked in the Pentagon and the White House, I didn't think was asked often enough. And then what? And then what?
Yeah.
So let's say you destroy it and you...
Which is where we are now, right?
Right. I mean, let's ask that question. And then what? So you destroy their capabilities. Does that mean that you've destroyed it totally? Well, as long as they have nuclear scientists to understand how this works, they could eventually get back to that. Or they could seek some alternatives. Might they buy a nuclear weapon from North Korea, for example? That's possible. Or some other site. And furthermore, if you take the regime down... You know, while there is large opposition to the Ayatollah and his regime throughout the Iranian population, I've never divined that there's an organized opposition. It's just a general opposition. And our history has taught us that when you strike a country massively, people then tend to rally around the government, even if the government was unpopular. That's just normally how people respond. So you could end up with an even more autocratic regime coming to the fore in Iran. You won't see Thomas Jefferson show up to create a democracy, I guarantee you that much. Or you could see that just fragment into a failed state of 92 million people, which would hardly leave the region in a more stable fashion.
What are the odds of it being a non-theocratic form of government?
Again, this is all speculative in that, and then what? I think it's very possible. The theocratic nature gives a veneer of, you know, legitimacy to the government. But we have to understand the IRGC, the Quds Force, all these guys, they benefit enormously financially from, you know, controlling the country. And my experience in the Middle East is that religion, Islam in particular, will have some effect on government wherever you go. I mean, we think that, you know, separation of church and state is something that should be enshrined in democracy, and I happen to believe that, of course. I'm sure you do as well. But we have to understand that's a pretty American way of looking at things, or at least a Western way of looking at things. In the Middle East, without exception, you know, Islam is going to have an influence. I mean, clearly, religious influence is enormous in Israel, oh, by the way, in terms mm-hmm. of defining Israeli policy. So whatever government might arise from the ashes, if, in fact, the government of Iran went down, I would tell you it would be one that could likely be authoritarian, and there would be a significant streak of religiosity as part of that particular governing body.
You know, on the one hand, I don't believe that Netanyahu wants to negotiate. On the other hand, when we talk about hitting energy locations, the ministry, television stations and things of that nature, communication systems, it seems as though... the level of aggression is increasing, and, you know, to get to some point, I don't know what that is. And then the flip side for me, I really want to hear from you on this issue. The Israelis seem to have pulled off something here pretty substantial unique. I'm hearing a lot of folks talk about this intelligence information, U.S. intelligence versus Israeli intelligence of what's going on in Iran. Where do you break on that, or where do you fall?
Well, again, I haven't got access to classified information, so it's difficult for me to say.
But I mean, just, said, you know, in light of what they pulled off.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly, in terms of tactical intelligence, it's been, you know, pretty phenomenal. And they took a page out of their playbook on how they struck Hezbollah. Remember the Hezbollah attack, mm-hmm. in which they had the pagers and they all explode and took care of a large portion of the Hezbollah command and control? And Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, said, oh, the Israelis would never kill me individually as a leader. Well, guess what? He's in his grave. So I think that certain assumptions that were made by Hezbollah were also made by Iran. Oh, the Israelis will never attack while we're still negotiating with the United States. So all these particular military officers, Quds leaders and the like, we can all go home for the evening. And they all got killed, along with nuclear scientists and others. And the Grand Ayatollah should know, as I think I said, that his personal existence as well as the existence of his regime are in jeopardy. So their tactical intelligence has been pretty doggone good. As far as strategic intelligence and the argument about how close were the Iranians or were the Iranians really moving towards creating a nuclear weapon, well, that's where the big disagreement exists. And since at least 2010 or so, the Israelis, Netanyahu, have continually said, well, the Iranians are just about to have a nuclear weapon. Well, by my calculation, that's 15 years, and if they were going to have one, they'd have had one by now. And they don't. But now he claims we have new intelligence that this time they really are close to getting a weapon. And that, again, goes against all of Mr. Trump's intelligence services, and we got eight that monitor this pretty closely. And to me, almost metaphorically, reminds me of when Mr. Trump went to Helsinki and met with Vladimir Putin and walked out into the ballroom for a press conference and said, well, you know, Mr. Putin says that he didn't interfere in our elections, and I don't see any reason why I shouldn't believe him. Well, every intelligence person in the room and watching on TV fell out of their chair because all eight U.S. intelligence services had come to an analytical conclusion that the Russians did, in fact, interfere with U.S. elections. So for the president to reject the analysis of all his agencies and accept the analysis of Mr. Netanyahu, who, as I think you suggested, has some, you know, personally and national interest in going ahead with this, is a little concerning.
Yeah. I don't know how else to ask this. I mean, I'm not a betting man, but the odds that we give them or we do the bunker busting, they don't have the capability to fly that,
right,
that bomb. So it would be all on us. It seems to me that there's a bright line path that's being created to get to that point.
Oh, absolutely. And you can see it by the president's rhetoric. He's put out tweets, unconditional surrender. He's put out tweets, we control the airspace over Tehran. I guess we means us and the Israelis. He put out tweets about we know where the Ayatollah is. We could kill him if we want to. Seems to suggest to me, at least, that his logic is moving more in the direction of ordering this particular strike. We also see it in the positioning of military forces. Obviously, they pulled all the civilians and the families out of the region. We know we've shrunk the number of bases we have in places like Syria. We know we've put in more assets into the region. We have one carrier battle group, the Carl Vinson, offshore in the Arabian Sea. We have a second carrier battle group, the Nimitz, moving in from the Pacific and should be there shortly. And then there's reports this morning of the USS Gerald Ford, which was en route to Europe, will now move into the eastern Mediterranean, also be on station pretty soon. Finally, there have been reports of an increase in the flow of tanker aircraft, maybe 20 or more, flying into Europe and the Middle East, and those tankers would be essential if you're going to do an operation with the B-2s for aerial refueling when they were going in to an attack or coming out of an attack. So all those pieces seem to be moving in the direction of the military option. Now, it'll take some time, a few days, for the Nimitz and the Ford to get in position, and perhaps that gives you some space and leverage to convince the Iranian leadership that they're better disposed to negotiate and hand over their nuclear research material than actually going to a further and wider conflict.
Colonel, if you would indulge me for a moment, going back to objectives. Oftentimes I try to put myself in the shoes of the leader, and when I think of the proxy groups being financed by Iran for who knows how long and who knows how long it would go on in the future, would there not be an interest? I mean, if I were Benjamin, if I was Bibi Netanyahu, I mean, I know that I would have an interest in to totally destroy the economic viability of Iran and create a situation of 10 to 15 years for them to regroup, get themselves back together again, where I know that they're not financing Hezbollah, Hamas, Fatah, and others, you know, to try and defeat Israel and the Jews in Israel, because that's all they cry each and every day.
No, that's exactly right. And for the last couple of decades, the Iranian deterrent to an attack by Israel was just that. Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, literally, and I've been on the border of Israel and Lebanon, in the villages and towns there in Mach, which look like houses, but I'm told by the Israeli intelligence or not, they're sites for missiles. There were literally tens of thousands of missiles and rockets all pointed at Israel. And so the threat was, if you attack Iran, they will respond using our proxies. Same was for Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And we know over the past 18 months or so, the Israelis have largely destroyed Hamas and largely rendered Hezbollah toothless. So that kind of deterrent goes away. Furthermore, the Iranians were using Syria as a transit point for men, material, money, weapons, et cetera, going to Hezbollah, going to the West Bank, et cetera, to various Islamic groups. And that all collapsed with the end of the Assad regime. So all your allies are gone, and that particular deterrent is gone. The only deterrent you have left are the Houthis down in Yemen, who have fired a couple of missiles in the direction of Israel since this conflict between Israel and Iran began on the 13th. So rendering Iran, if you will, incapable of striking Israel obviously is an objective of the Israelis, and rendering them impossible to deliver a nuclear weapon is also an objective. And I think that's part of the motivation for Netanyahu as well, not only the imminent acquisition of a nuclear weapon by Iran, but that Iran was weakened, not only externally through its proxies, but internally. Previous strikes had reduced their air defense, reduced their missile launchers. So now is the moment. If we're going to take them out, now is the time to do that. Not only that, might they move ahead with nuclear weapons, they might once be reconstitute their conventional missile launching capacity, reconstitute their air defense networks, and make an attack in future much more difficult. And it's clear from reports that Netanyahu, when he came to Washington in February, ostensibly to talk about tariffs, was really there to try to convince Donald Trump to participate in that particular attack back in February. He wanted the B-2s to go in February. But Mr. Trump decided to try to pursue a diplomatic option. And then when the Israelis decided to attack, Netanyahu kind of pulled the rug out from under Trump and his ability to negotiate any kind of settlement.
So I guess where we are right now is that proverbial wait and see, right?
Yeah, we're at the wait and see. What's interesting, I think, is a couple of things, though. One is, what are American options? Well, American options are obviously to participate with Israel in a military attack that would seek to destroy the nuclear capacity of Iran, if not bring down the regime, or stand back and say, well, we support and defend Israel from attacks. It's going to be the Israelis who are going to have to execute that particular mission. Or number three, try to seek some method through the UN or elsewhere to get a diplomatic process back online. Those seem to be the options, and it's most of the time the case, you got three bad options. Yes. But then I think the other thing is this real question of, does Mr. Trump pursue the United States Senate? Because I think it's important for us to think about not only the policies we execute, but the process whereby we create policy. One might be a very, very strong supporter of this military option by the United States. It is an option. That doesn't mean it's an advisable option. It's doable. It doesn't mean it's advisable. And many, I think, would argue that even if you're a supporter of it, you would still rather see that the process was respected in terms of our Constitution and the law.
Yeah, no doubt for sure. Colonel Jeff McCausland, as always, we totally enjoy this conversation with you and you being able to backfill all of this incredible information for us. We appreciate that as well. Have a great week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Noel.
Thank you, sir. That's Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. We will be right back, folks, with us.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.